Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to This is Steph Sober, a weekly podcast for those in need of some sober support. I'm your host, Steph, and in this episode, I chat with Em, who is in the first month of sobriety. But like most of us, this isn't her first attempt. So what makes it finally stick? Because Em feels different this time around. She's doing the work, so to speak. Instead of finding her why for getting sober, she is working on identifying the reasons why she drank in the first place, which is a big part of changing the mindset around drinking. At 34 years old, Em is ready to figure out who she really is. Em, life is about to get so good, and I am excited to follow your journey. This is Em Sober. Welcome, Em, to the podcast. I am so excited to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here and get to share my story.
Yes, yes. I put a post out yesterday about people struggling, and you were like the first one to message me. And I was excited when you did, because I think this is something people need to hear. It's inspiring to hear people who have gone through it. They're on the other side of it. They're confident. That is inspiring. Like, it inspired me. But I think it's also good to hear that there are people that are struggling, and to hear them in the midst of it, because I shouldn't say we forget, but you kind of do. It's like childbirth, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you knew it hurt, but like, you have this beautiful thing now that kind of fogs that. And I think sobriety is a lot like that. Like, you've birthed this new life with yourself, and you knew it was hard to get there, but you kind of sometimes forget. So it's kind of a good reminder, even for those of us who are where I'm at, because we're all one drink away from going back to it. So
And that's why I was so excited to jump in, because from all the podcasts that I've listened to, yes, it is amazing people who have amazing milestones. And while that was something that I look forward to being one day, it was hard to relate because they weren't on the same page as me. So I'm looking forward, to sharing my story, and hopefully someone else will be able to relate and stay strong, as I intend to do as well.
Yeah. Okay, so where do you want to start? I always ask people, like, what was it like growing up? Like, where was alcohol in your life growing up? If you want to start there, we can start there if that works for you. Or
yeah, let's start from the very beginning. So my name's Em. I'm 34 years old. I was born to 15 and 16 year old parents. So you might say that I grew up with some kids myself. Alcoholism has been a part of my geniality, if that is even a word. I might have just made that up. So it was almost inevitable that something would I would stumble upon something, whether it be gambling or drinking or drugs or something like that. I wish it was exercise and healthy eating, it turns out it was alcohol this time. But my story, my parents did shelter me from alcohol for as long as they could. They certainly weren't offering me drinks at 14, 15. I never tried to sneak it early on. But my first proper drink, I remember I was at one of my first high school parties. I was in year 11, which is the second last year of high school here in Australia. And I had two beers and I think maybe 1.5 cups of what they called jungle juice. Now, this is a concoction of wine and vodka and juice and whatever, probably some petrol, I'm not, or gas, whatever, whatever they could find. And that was my first experience. And I was very ill, very, very ill. I missed the whole party. I was put to bed. I was vomiting. And it was awful. I missed out on the party and everyone else continued on. Now, that was 16. And so for the next 10 years, I would only drink maybe fortnightly, monthly, but it would be the same. I would binge and then I'd be violently ill. I would sleep next to the toilet and I would be no good for a couple of days. So I guess from 16 to 26, you would have called me a binge drinker every now and again. It wasn't until I left a very unhappy, lonely marriage that I started to drink a little bit more. I was happy to leave that marriage. It wasn't serving me and it wasn't serving my children. I was completely isolated, alone. I didn't know who I was. I still don't now, unfortunately, but I'm working on that. And I met my current husband who I guess sort of, he took me out of that situation and introduced me to the world of fine wining and dining. And I was like, wow, we're out on a Thursday night on a date. There's people out. People go out to dinner on a Thursday. There's like 300 people in this pub. Like, I don't understand. I had heart palpitations because I'd been cooped up in my house for so long. I didn't understand. So he treated me to a lot of dates. We moved in together very quickly and, you know, wine and was our thing. He is a child of parents who ran pubs for many, many, many years. So he's been around alcohol a lot himself. So it's just a part of life. So I started to drink that little bit more. We'll call this from about 26, 27. So how old am I now? Seven, 8 years ago. And then the drinking started just to get that little bit more, that little bit more, and that little bit more. And then COVID came. And my stepson joined our family full time, which had never happened before. He was living with his mother previously, but she was no longer capable. So add an extra child into the mix, working full time, COVID, lockdown, and my drinking turned into maybe 5 out of 7 days, which is still bad, to 7 out of 7. And it turned into is 10 a.m. a suitable time to start drinking? Oh, bugger it, why not? And so it got progressively worse and worse. So then it was about 2 years ago, almost to the day, where I thought to myself, I'm having trouble stopping. Like I wake up in the morning and I go, I need a break. I need a break. This isn't, I don't feel good. I'm not sleeping well. I'm starting to put on weight. I want to try and stop. Actually, no, I regress. I lost 150 kilos with the gastric sleeve surgery. So I had really bad reflux and the weight gain that I was getting from the wine was starting to freak me out. So I thought I'm going to go to the GP, my doctor, and I want to ask to be re-sleeved or maybe I could be get a bypass instead because I don't want this weight to keep creeping on. And I went to this new GP, he'd never met me before, and said, look, I want to be re-sleeved. I'm putting on weight. My reflux is awful. It's shocking. Like, please help. And he said, okay, well, let's go through the list of what we talk about. So do you smoke? I said, no, I don't. He said, do you drink? And for the older people out there listening, I had what we call a sliding doors moment, that movie with, I believe it's Gwyneth Paltrow. I sat there and I said, now, do I lie or do I tell the truth? And I don't know why, but I chose to tell the truth that day. And he said, Em, well, there's your problem. You stop drinking, your reflux will probably go away. You'll definitely lose weight. Your sleep will improve. Please come back to me in a couple of weeks' time and we'll have a chat. So that was my first attempt at sobriety and I walked away and I said, right, yeah, I'm being lazy. Let's do this. Let's give it a shot. 6 weeks had passed. I had two sober days. Two. And that was me trying. So I went back and I said, yeah, so I've had two sober days. I don't think I can do this on my own. I think I need some extra support. And by that, I thought maybe something like naltrexone was something that I needed. And we discussed the options. And he said, I think, Emma, for you, I think a camprasate or campra would be the best medication for you to try, because this
what
one
is that?
Works. So this one, it works with the pathways in your brain. So it helps with your cravings, whereas naltrexone turns off the pleasure that you get when you drink. So you're actually, when you're, I don't know if I am wrong, I do apologize, but with naltrexone, I believe they actually encourage you to keep drinking that little bit so that your brain learns, oh, I'm not getting any pleasure from this alcohol. I don't want it. Whereas a camprasate is helping me actually go, no, I don't want that. Like, I don't even want it. Mm-hmm. So I got my first script for that. And I started in March 21st, 2021, just after my wedding. And I remember the day before I went out to lunch with my girlfriend and we came home, kept drinking. It was like a send off. And I've still got video on my phone being an absolute numpty, dancing around the lounge room with my children.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Children having a doing a conga line, embarrassing as all hell. It was just funny but trashy, you know. Like, you look back and go, oh, that's silly. And I lasted 160 days, but during that time, I felt I hadn't discovered the Instagram community yet. I honestly felt miserable. I felt lonely. I was doing it by myself, and my husband did continue to drink around me, although he did cut back. It was still hard. Mm-hmm. And this was something I wasn't going to talk about, but I think I will, because it might help someone else in the meantime. But around the 98-day mark, I actually found out that I was pregnant.
Oh.
So I thought, this is going to be so easy. You don't drink when you're pregnant. What psycho would do that? Absolutely not. I would never do that. And my doctor said, you need to come off the medication when you're pregnant. So I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. It's fine. I'm pregnant. I'm not going to drink. So came off it, and almost instantly I was like, oh, would love a glass of champagne. But I didn't. So the first 3 months of my pregnancy, absolutely nothing. So that's up to 160 days. That was my first trimester, where a lot of the, and that's certainly not an excuse, but where all the important development happens. Then I had my gender reveal. And a lot of the, let's say, the older crowd were saying, oh, you can have a glass, Emma. You can have a glass. It's just one. It'll be fine. What do you think the women in Italy do? What do you think the ladies in France do? Of course they still drink when they're pregnant. I have a glass of red wine with their dinner. You're fine. You can have one. Someone had low alcohol champagne, and I thought, oh, yeah, I guess you're right, not knowing in myself that I, you know, that I'm an alcoholic and I couldn't stop. So I had that one glass, but it straight away turned that alcoholic brain back on, and I just wanted it bad, so I was cranky the whole time. So for the rest of the 6 months, It was torture, and there would be a glass here and there, but I am disgusted in myself about that. Mm. I am so grateful that my beautiful baby is absolutely fine. He shows no signs of any fetal alcohol syndrome, but even just one glass is so dangerous, and I would never think anyone should tempt it. It is not worth it. So that was something that I wasn't going to share, and I hope there is no judgment, but it is reality.
None at all. I'm sure there are going to be tons of women that resonate with that. I mean, pregnancy is so hard as it is. Like, our bodies are not ours. We're just, yeah, the emotions, everything else. And then, yeah, for you to already have come off that medicine, which I don't know much about that medicine, but was that even the right way to come off of it? Do they normally wean you off? But because you were pregnant, they just took you off, or?
It is one that is, you can just stop. But it is one that you're supposed to be on long term, you know, a good year at least.
So you weren't ready.
No, I was not ready to come off the medication, but I had to because they didn't, it was a class C drug, I think. So they just don't know if it's safe for the fetus, and it's not something that they're going to go and test, because that would quite immoral. So then I knew that I had issues with breastfeeding from my older children, so I knew that I wasn't going to breastfeed. So my son was born at 11 p.m. at night, and I was home by 11 a.m. the next morning, and we had popped those corkscrews to celebrate. And that started a whole nother, I think, 3 months of daily drinking, not to like excess, like blackout, or you know, at a point where I couldn't look after myself or my children, but it was still daily drinking, which was no good. So then I woke up, I think it was in the middle of the night in June or July, the year just gone, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. So I went back to my GP. I got my script again. He helped me with the withdrawals, which I was lucky enough to not really suffer too severely from at all. It was more like a battle of the mind. So that was lucky in that. I was lucky in that regard. And that's when I found the Instagram community, and I thought that was just brilliant. I'm like, great, I've got a whole world of people that are the same as me going through the same thing. And I lasted another 50 days. And then I made the silly assumption that I could moderate, which anyone who is a seasoned sober person will have a little giggle, because there is no such thing as just one, that I've learned about myself. So
yeah, but Em, we all have to learn it on our own. I mean, it's just this thing. It's like, we really think that we can moderate, and we don't know until, I mean, it's like one of those things, you really don't know until you try. I mean, you can't fault anyone for trying. I mean,
and it was a lesson, because it threw me back into another 2 months of even worse heavy drinking, to the point where I would start shaking if I wasn't drinking. Now, I'm not a large frame person, so I don't need a lot to be intoxicated. And after everything I've learned from listening to podcasts, I remember sitting here in this exact chair, and I would have my glass of wine, and I'd have a couple of sips, and I felt the physiological effects go from the top of my head down to my toes. I felt that wave of dopamine. I felt what happens, those chemicals, when you drink that. And that's what we were chasing. And I'm like, whoa, that's insane that I just felt that. And I can acknowledge that. And now I'm learning there are much better ways that I can still get that, just not from alcohol. So, yes, most recently I'd started blacking out a lot more at nighttime. So I would wake up and people or even my husband would say, oh, do you remember we've got that thing on today? Or remember, can you pick up the kids today? And I'd go, what? And I would just genuinely have no memory. So that was terrible. So then again, 18 days ago, I went back to my GP and I said, right, this is it, but something has changed. I feel like something has changed this time. And what has changed is the fact that I've realized my whole life I have been numbing, from being born to children and having to grow up so fast, moving out of home at 15, having to I became a mother myself at 20 years old. So I've gone from being a child to parenting myself, to being a parent. I don't know. I didn't know who I am, and I've just been numbing this whole time, it turns out. So what I want is to know, who the hell am I? And what do I want from this life? Is my current situation one that is serving me well? So that's why this is why I feel so different this time, because I can't do that with foggy alcoholic glasses on. I need a clear head. I need to feel good in order to make the next step and the next just keep going in the right direction. And that's pretty much my story.
That is exactly where I was when it finally stuck, like 100%. It was, and it's crazy that you talk about drinking the wine and just slowly feeling that rush that we chase. I went through that as well when I decided to get sober. I had a wine advent calendar because my sober date is the 26th of December. And so I had a wine advent calendar that my dad had gotten me. And I already knew that I was going to like quit drinking first of the year, but I didn't want to not honor his gift. I didn't want to be rude. I was a people pleaser. So I, you know, it's just these little bottles of wine. They weren't very, very, I mean, it was definitely not what I would consider a glass of wine, but I would just have the one because I thought, you know what? I'm gonna see if I can just have one. Like, here's a perfect opportunity to test it. And it goes back to the moderation. And I would have the one and I wanted more. I didn't let myself have more, but I wanted more because I noticed I only felt that little rush for a short amount of time. And then that was followed by this like irritable feeling, right? This feeling of like, I want to feel that again, you know? So it was really, in a way, a good thing that my dad got me that, because I think it helped me solidify that I was drinking for the wrong reasons. I will never be able to just enjoy a glass of wine because I like to just sip on it. Like, I needed it to do something for me. And it sounds like that's what you're discovering too, that there's a lot of things that you have just pushed away with the alcohol that you just didn't want to deal with.
Definitely, I would drink to cope, to numb, to relax, because I had a good day, because I had a bad day, because the day ended in Y, the letter Y, and any excuse. And my husband, he is much of the same, and I won't speak on behalf of him, but he will have some work to do on himself. But we just have to look at each other with the side eye and go, feel like a bit of vino, and you know, that wobbly arm, someone would be in the car driving down to the bottle shop, and that would happen almost every day. So I'm leading by example, I'd like to think, at the moment. And gonna keep on going, that's for sure.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Yeah, and that's really the best thing you can do. My husband still drinks, but I will tell you, in this last year, it is significantly less. At the beginning, I'm kind of a control freak, and at the beginning, I was always like, I don't want you to drink, da, da, da. You know, I was being that person, and I was more worried about him than me, because I was so set, like where you're at now. Like, I knew this was it. Like, I'm done, but I wanted him to be done. Like, I wanted us to do this together, but it doesn't always work that way. And I had to remind myself, no one was ever going to make me do it when I wasn't ready. And yeah, you have to just show them the way, like show them how great life can be, how much happier you are, and just, yeah, like you said, be an example of that.
That's exactly right. And this time, what I failed to do previous times, and that's why every time I've come back, I've learned something major. This time, I set a strong boundary, and that's something I hadn't done before. This time, it actually came from the advice of my doctor. He said, Emma, you need to go home and tell him no alcohol in the house and don't drink in front of me. And I was like, whoa, I don't know how that's going to go down. You've met my husband, and you've heard what I've told you about him. So we'll see how that goes. But he has honored that, I'm going to say 99% of the time, which is a great deal better than what it has been in the past. So the minute that strong boundary is broken, we'll be having some words, because it's important to me that I stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been afraid to say no to going to certain events, because I know that if I'm not in a good headspace that day, I don't want to put myself in an uncomfortable situation. But there've been other times where he's encouraged me to, and then I felt uncomfortable, but I've beaten, like I've met the challenge. I've come home sober and I've gone, I can do this. And he was right. I can't hide away forever, but I also need the balance.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be pushed into these uncomfortable situations all the time, but I do need to do it sometimes in order to beat those challenges and get stronger from them.
Yeah, and you do. Like every single time you get through an event sober and go through the process of waking up the next day and remembering everything and feeling good, it just like adds, it's like a muscle, right? Like it's just like you're doing a workout, right? Like it just adds to it. And then the next time you just feel even more confident. And it is a matter of just building that up. What are some things that you're doing this time? You said you set a boundary. Are there any other things that you're doing, like doing the work type stuff, to keep yourself on the straight and narrow this time? Are there some tools that you are like falling towards or?
Yep, this time I'm now seeing a psychologist to try and see if, because something that we all talk about in the community is, what are your whys? Why do you want to be sober? And something I hadn't seen much of is, why was I drinking? So that was something I wanted to reverse, and I wanted to know, why am I drinking? I need to address this. And so I'm seeing the psychologist. I've only been once so far because of 18 days, but I'm going again this week. And I really hope that we'll be able to work together and figure that out. So the medication, the psychologist, Instagram community, of course, educating myself. And I know that AA can be a controversial topic in the community. Some people are really for it. Some people are really against it. But I'm not against trying everything. And I'm also someone that needs to be, like, technology is great and all, but I've started going to meetings because I like to be in a room full of other people that are local that get it, that understand. And being in Australia, we're a very multicultural society. And I when I look around the room, I see people of all ages, people from all cultures, and I think, oh, wow. Like, we all have this thing in common, and we're all here to support each other and stay accountable. And I think it's great. But also in Australia, like, religion is not a massive, I guess, against Australians, it's not a massive thing. But in all the meetings, they talk about, yes, they say the word God and higher power, but it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that the man with the beard sitting in the clouds. It can be whatever it needs to be for you. So for me, it's spirituality, it's angels, it's the universe, it's something that's something else. So that if anyone has ever dismissed AA because they're not religious, it's not at all, or it can be for you if you want it to be, but it's not. So that's something I'm trying, and I'm very new to it, so I'm not sure if it's something I'll stick with. I'd like to say I might, but it's something I'm trying.
Yeah,
because I don't think you should not try something.
Well, especially if you're someone who needs actual like warm bodies in a room with you. That's why I couldn't do it. So like that's the only I don't have anything against AA because I've never been. I have no reason, you know, to say anything because I don't know enough about it. But all I know is the being in a room with people part was not going to work for me. Because I'm just a little too introverted. I need to drink to be in that type of an environment. So I'm like, this would, for me, would just have, you know, not helped me at all. I would have felt like I needed to drink to just to go. So I just knew. So that's why I am so grateful for the Instagram community because it keeps me still like finding people to relate to, but not having to like stand up in front of people and like talk.
Oh yeah. And that's definitely optional. You never actually have to, you can just go and listen. You could sit at the back, and if they invite you up, you just go, no, just listening today. You could say that for 20 years if you wanted to. So there's definitely no pressure at all. Not at the ones that I've been to. So I can't speak for all of them. But,
and I know they have online meetings too. I did a podcast with Kayla, a friend of mine that I met really early on Instagram, and she told me that they do, which I'm like, of course they do. Like, why wouldn't they? I mean, it's 2022, 2023. Like, we do that stuff now. But I mean, it's just nothing I would have even thought about looking into to see if I could just, cause she said she used to just go on anonymously cause they're 24 hours a day. Cause there's meetings all over the world, I guess, online. And she said that when she would really struggle, she would just go on anonymously and just listen to people talk as she laid in bed and just was trying to get through a craving. So, I mean, there's so many tools, and that's what's so great, because you can find what works for you, that you'll always find something that works for you, because there's so many different ways to go about it. I love the spirituality part, because I think that's a big thing, and I know AA talks about that, and not from a religious standpoint, but it's like, you, it's good to believe in something bigger than yourself, and to believe that you are, for me at least, I love knowing that I'm because I'm spiritual, and I believe I have my guides, and I just really lean on that, and just know that I am being guided. Things are unfolding for me, things like that. Like, if something bad happens, I know that it's supposed to be that way. There's going to be a new opportunity because of it. I don't know. It's just, that has really helped me in my sobriety. Is that how you view spirituality as well? What's your spirituality like?
Well, the viewers can't see, but I have a sleeve tattoo of planets and comets and stars. So it's like a galaxy themed thing. So like, I'm just so overwhelmed that we are just a tiny speck of dust in a big, vast space of nothingness. And yet we're fighting over oil, and we're, you know, upset that we can't choose the right outfit or nail color. It just seems so not important at the end of the day, but I just feel like there surely is something, there's something else out there. There's something else controlling this. Why am I here? So I guess that's sort of how I look at it, and what, and karma as well, you know, what you put out, you'll get back. To always try and be a good person. Definitely guides as well. Recently had a, I wouldn't call it a poltergeist, but I definitely had a visit from a spiritual being. It sat on the bed, and because I felt my bed divot, and then it walked off the bed. And I'm like, whoa, there is no one else in this room, and I'm awake. This isn't a dream. So that was a bit spooky.
That's wild.
So I saged that room.
for sure. I would have too. Wow. Yeah. I've never had that kind of an experience. But yeah, I really lean heavily on the spiritual, the universe. Like you said, there's times where if I'm feeling overwhelmed or, you know, just out of sorts, I will remind myself, like, this really doesn't matter. We're just like, we're just on this little speck in this grand mass of things. And it's like, does it really matter? You know, when you just, even if you can take a minute and just look at the sky and just, okay, like, no problems that big. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know.
It's more like, you know, and what is the universe trying to teach me today? Right. Like, what I'm going through this difficult time, but what am I going to learn from it? And it's always a positive. So something else that I've been using is mindset books. And I know that you've had Sober James on your podcast before.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And
he's awesome.
He's directed me into the Ant Middleton books. And I am almost through all of them, but they've been a great tool in my toolkit to go back to and just go, you know, every difficult moment passes, and you know, there's no point in worrying about something that you're not even in yet. I think he called it the fear bubble, and that's the title of one of his books. So
Right.
you might have something like, you might be new to sobriety, and you know, you have to go to this party. It's, you know, it's your mother's 60th. You have to go. Everyone's going to be drinking. There's no point in sitting there getting upset, worried about it for the days leading up to it. So the fear bubble is maybe when you're in it. So don't worry about it till you're in it. When you're in it, you deal with it, and then you get out of it, and it's done. So Aunt Middleton is highly recommended from me as well to read, to learn about positive mindset, because you can overcome anything with a positive mindset.
And I think it's huge for sobriety, because that's a lot of, like you were just saying, a lot of what is going on with you, with your cravings and stuff, has always been in your mind. I know for me, I didn't have alcohol withdrawal when I quit drinking. It was all habit and using it as a drug to numb uncomfortable feelings and to try to heighten the good feelings. And it didn't do anything but keep me at some weird baseline at all times, you know, like it just.
That's right. It's rarely the substance that's the issue. Once you remove the substance and it's gone from your system, it is purely mental. And if there's things that you've not dealt with, then you've got to get on it and deal with it, and find out what it is. You might not even know. Half the time my husband will look at me and go, "What's wrong?" And I'll know I'm off. I'll know I'm not myself. And I will sit there and go, "I don't know yet. Give me a minute, please." And I'll sit there and I'll think about it. And I'll be like, "You know what? I was actually really annoyed at this thing that happened." And we'll talk through it. And then I'll be like, "Yeah, I'm all right now."
Yeah.
So it can be hard to identify sometimes.
It is hard. And, you know, you saying that just reminded me, when I was early in sobriety, I would have days where I would just have a strong emotion, let's say sad. I'd feel so sad all of a sudden. And I'm like, why do I feel so sad? And I couldn't figure it out. And I think it was, because I really truly believe that if we don't ever process our emotions, which is what I did with alcohol, is I refused to feel anything bad. I would just drink until the feeling would go away, but it didn't go away, right? I just pushed it down into my body. And what I feel is, when these emotions would come up for me, they were an old emotion, like old, like it could have been from my teenage years, because I started drinking at 14. And of course I can't identify it. It was too long ago. I think it was just still stuck. So when I would have a day like that, when I would just feel so sad, and I'm like, nothing happened though. Why am I sad? Like, I would go into my room quietly, put on a meditation, and 9 times out of 10, I would just lay there and just cry. Like, ugly cry. Don't even know why I'm doing it. But it felt so good to just finally release that. And so I did a lot of that. Probably, I mean, I haven't had those strong of feelings lately, but I would say the good first 6 months was just, I think, old shit that I just packed. And then, yeah, therapy is just, I think everyone should go, even if you're not sober. But therapy is just the best.
Because the wait list is too long.
Yeah, I know. But it's the best, because it also helps you learn how to process things correctly, especially when you've never learned how to do it. I never learned how to do it.
To add another layer to my story, when I was actually, that's funny, at around the age of 27, which is when the drinking really started to kick off, I learned that I have something called borderline personality disorder, or emotional regulation disorder, something along those lines. So that came from my childhood, where babies and kids were learning their ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. I wasn't in a safe space, is what I've been taught. Like, I felt like my amygdala was in fight or flight mode all the time. Like, I constantly feel in a state of stress and tense for no particular reason at all. So what it means is I have trouble regulating my emotions. So when a normal, what's that, normal with these quotation marks,
Yeah.
when a normal person feels sad about something, I would be distraught. And when someone's happy about something, I might be manic, like super happy, like bouncing off the walls. And it's not like, and they weren't ever appropriate responses to the situation. But my worst one was always anger. And I always come across as someone who's really angry. And I don't know why I come across angry, but I'm actually sad or I'm disappointed. But because of this, it comes across as like rage or anger. So that's something, again, that I can work with the therapist with. But it's also, it was exacerbated by alcohol. Like a lot of issues in my marriage have been, have always, alcohol has always been a problem with it. A big fight has started because of alcohol. The police have been called because of alcohol. You know, slamming doors, alcohol, screaming, alcohol. We've never had an argument like that sober, that's for sure.
Right.
Very excited to be here and share. And I don't have anything to hide, and I'm not embarrassed. I mean, what's happened has happened. And I'm making all the right moves right now to be better, to be a better version of myself, and just little by little every single day. And I'll get to where I want to be. But for now, so it's not so overwhelming, it really is one day at a time.
It is. You build this amazing life one day at a time, like brick by brick by brick. And yeah, every time you get through a craving or a social situation like you were talking about, it just keeps getting better and better and better. And I want to say it to you, because I had someone tell me that was like 25 years sober. She actually she was my boss at one time, and I had talked to her since I had quit working there. And I told her that I was sober, that I was working on sobriety. I was like 3 months in, and I'll never forget it, because she was like, your life is about to get so good. And like, I get emotional just saying that, because it's so true. Like, it gets so good, like beyond your wildest dreams, good. And her saying that, I hadn't joined Sober Instagram at that point. I needed to hear that day, because I was struggling. I needed someone to, and it was weird, because she called me, it's like a whole story, but like, she called me out of the blue. It was one of those like spiritual universe, everything was aligned type moments.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it wasn't too long after that I got on Sober Instagram, because her telling me that, I was like, I need, it made me realize I need people. Like, I need people that are also sober, because right now I don't have anybody. And if I'm going to keep going, I need that. And then, yeah, I was 99 days sober and hopped on Instagram, and the rest is history. Now I do a podcast. I mean, come on. Like, it's crazy. I just posted something the other night. I saw it and I was like, yep, this is it. And it said, you will accomplish more in 1 year of sobriety than you ever did 10 years drinking. And I 100% believe that. Like, it opens your mind. Like, you don't even realize how fogged your mind had become from the alcohol. Like, just, you will find yourself, Em. You're going to find that person, and between the therapy and like clearing your head. And I just can't even wait to see what is in store for you. Like, it's going to be incredible.
I am very, very excited. And that would be my one tip to anyone else who's thinking of starting, or is in their early days, is yeah, you can't do it alone. You need, if it's people online, that's fine. If it's in a group, that's fine. If it's your family and friends and they're willing to support you and abstain while they're around you, can't do it alone. I tried doing that, and it worked for a little while, but in my personal opinion, I think you need that community for sure.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
Remember, I am just a woman on a mission to normalize sobriety and living a sober lifestyle. I am not a licensed therapist or a doctor. Please, if alcohol is causing serious physical or mental health issues, seek professional help. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to hit follow so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, leaving a 5-star review will help this podcast reach more people like you in the sober community. It's an easy way to spread the word in normalizing a sober lifestyle. You should never feel alone in sobriety, so feel free to reach out to me via email or through my Instagram account at This Is Steph Sober. Links to both are listed in the show notes.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.